Let's go to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you now that we have not only sung your praises, Lord, but you have set our hearts ready to hear your word, to receive your word, and to understand it through the power of the Holy Spirit that you give each one of us who believes in you. So, Father, as we talk about being thankful and getting along, Lord, with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, I just pray that you will let your Spirit do the speaking. Remove me from it. And let each person receive what you would have them receive. We thank you, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned last Sunday, this is the season of giving thanks. We've talked about that this morning. For not only his bounty, for his providence, but also for his grace and his mercy. Last week we heard Paul's admonitions to the Thessalonian church, and this week we're going to hear the same apostle's words to the church at Colossae, which are much along the same lines. And while we shared communion and a fellowship meal last week here at church, this week is when many of us will share time with family and friends in order to give thanks as a family or group of friends. Now, how do we treat family and friends in such circumstances? Let us carefully look into what is given to us in this text. So Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, and we'll take them one at a time. Verse 12. Paul speaking to the church. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, here within that text, we see that little word that throws a lot of people, elect. Now, what does that word mean? In context, it means one simple thing, those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. In other words, Paul is speaking to those in the church. Not only the church then, but the church now. He is speaking to us through this letter that he writ to that congregation. And we understand that. It indicates those who have faith in the blood and sacrifice as Jesus Christ and none other. It indicates those whom God the Father loves and separates from this evil world by the power of that selfsame blood in Jesus Christ in which our faith rests. That's what that word means. And what are these people that he's speaking to do? Well, the King James phrase, bowels of mercy, is better rendered hearts of mercy. And we've heard this 1,000 times over the years, but it's been explained that Paul's generation believed that such emotions as mercy and kindness and love came from deep inside your innards. And that we can understand that. When you get emotional, where does it hurt? In your innards. So when you show compassion and love to somebody, it in their mind, it came from deep inside you. But we today use terms like heart and mind to locate such feelings. But look what else is mentioned here. Listed are kindness, humbleness of mind, that means humility, meekness, and when I say meekness, I'm not talking about being a doormat, I'm talking about gentility, being gentle, and long-suffering, which is the art of patience. Patience is an art. Because there are some people that you need to be more artful with than others. When we talk about people that we are close to, our family members, our loved ones, we need to be a little bit more careful. Why? Because they know who we are also. We know who they are, they know who we are. Person who is standing firm in the truth of Christ can hear is when they're admonishing someone in love in the truth, oh yeah, but you do this and you do that. That hurts. Because 9 times out of 10, they're a little bit accurate, aren't they? But brothers and sisters, all these things we need to practice as an art. When we gather together, our human sinfulness will almost always have us give over to our own rightness. What I mean by that is we like to scrap. We like to argue. We like to say, I'm right and you're wrong. Now, folks, do not mishear me. There are times when we must stand firm in the truth of the Word of God, even at the cost of false peace. What is better, standing in the truth or just pretending to be at peace with someone? Now, we as humans, we want peace. But, folks, peace is not the absence of conflict. There is always going to be that kind. Oh, if we just give in, we'll have peace, folks. It didn't work for the world in 1939. It's not going to work now. When you give in to evil, the consequences are terrible. For relationships, for governments, for individuals, for children, for everybody. But being truth, if truth is there, that's what you fall back on, is the truth. Pride is what we consider rightness. I'm right and you're wrong. Now, like I said, I'm not talking about standing in the truth. I'm talking about just personal feelings and emotions. You know, you were wrong to say what you said in 1974. Folks, I can barely remember 1974. Some of y'all can because I see your eyebrows pop up when I say that. Hurt feelings last a long, long time. And you know what? Here's the kicker. You may be right. What that other individual done or what that family member did may be wrong. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are in the family of God. Folks, I understand the difficulty it is in trying to be thankful when people are angry at each other. And that's what I want to say. This world is angry with each other. Our families are angry with each other for all kinds of reasons. Some legitimate, some stupid. Okay? Let's just admit it. You know, I've got two brothers. I got one who actually served in the Navy the same time I did. We both served together in Pearl Harbor. And then I've got a younger brother who's a sheriff's deputy. He's a detective and he's also a pastor. Now my middle brother, the one that was in the Navy with me, he was a wild child. Back in the 1980s, he had the long black hair and he listened to Rat and had the concert t-shirts and everything. I mean, he was a wild child. He's mellowed over the years, and I believe the reason he's had is God gave him three children, two daughters and one boy. And my mother's curse, do you know what the mother's curse is? Some of you are going, yep. I hope your children grow up just like you. And you know what? They did. So what me and my younger brother decided is when we ever get together again, he's going to handcuff him to a chair and we're going to preach at him until he converts. Now, he believes in the Lord, but he saw a lot of things and experienced a lot of things that have turned him hard against people. And when people treat you wrongly, it kind of skewers your judgment on relationships, doesn't it? That's why Paul is giving the church these words as Christians, as the elect, and being beloved by God, put on holy and beloved people. Put on the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, all these things so that we can have right relationships with people. But like I said, there's sometimes when you have to make a stand. But what we don't do, brothers and sisters, is we don't go looking for a fight. I've said up here in this pulpit many times that I've known people, their sole purpose in life was to stir the pot, was to cause angry reaction because they got their fun out of watching other people be miserable. That is not what a child of God does. We want to help, we want to love, we want to do everything we can, but we don't want to cause pain. Unless, and hear me out, unless the pain that we cause makes that person understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you don't like me. You don't like what I do. Brother, sister, whatever it may be. Loving someone sometimes means that you have to explain to them what is right and what is wrong by God's word, not our own emotions. How mean do you have to be? If you've got a child and that child says, well, I want to play with this fork and I'm going to stick it in this plug-in and see what happens. That happened to me once. My mama told me all she could hear was those little rubber fire boots you used to get at the dollar store. She heard them sizzling. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't need to have a haircut for about a week because it was all standing straight up in the air. But how mean would she have to be to say, oh, let him do what he wants. He'll learn the hard way. Folks, the hard way is waiting till you stand face to face before Christ. And he says, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. Why do we want that to be the end with many of our relationships? No. We want to be peacemakers. We want to be children of God because sometimes a rebuke is the real love that we give. Not all the time, but many times. When someone is doing something evil, whatever it may be, and we stand firm in the gospel and say, brothers, this is what God says on this matter. Sister, this is the way Christians treat each other. Not based on our feelings, but based on the Word of God. You see, that's the problem. Too many of our times we base our lives on feelings. Feelings change. Feelings are not a foundation that you want to be on. Emotions change. The Word of God stands forever. And when we realize that, we can treat other people the way God wants us to treat them, especially within the household of God. We must be peaceable before others if we bear the name of Jesus. Not doormats, not giving in to every whim or fancy, but saying, this is the truth, I love you, but this is what we have to do. Now folks, we can give thanks for that. Because we are not the ones backing up these feelings. God Almighty, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are what's backing up. And when people that are doing something wrong get offended, it's not you they're getting offended at. Because if you agreed with them, everything would be hunky-dory. Is that even a word, hunky-dory? Seems like I've heard that somewhere in the past. Brothers and sisters, we need to be peaceable if we bear the name of Jesus. But are there times we become angry because we are hurt by a careless word or a sideways glance? Yes, of course. You know, being a pastor, I get my feelings hurt sometimes. Mainly because, folks, I hate to say it sounded like this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I had a conversation this past week with someone, and it was like talking to a brick. They're not a member of the congregation, so y'all don't worry. But this person could not understand why evil exists in this world. And they wanted to blame the Lord. Well, if God is sovereign, then God wouldn't allow this. Therefore, he doesn't exist, folks. God in His sovereignty gave us the ability to choose right or wrong. And many times we as human beings choose wrong and we hurt people. But then we turn around sometimes and we bless people. That first song we sang this morning about blessing. We can be the blessing for people, especially at times that we celebrate like Thanksgiving. People can give thanks because we love them. And one of the ways we show them we love them is we stick to the truth. Who did you think loved you more? Somebody that told you an inconvenient truth, I hate to use Al Gore's words, but a bad truth that they might think is bad, or someone that's just lying to you? Many of us, over the years, especially younger folks, you know, they get that first romantic feel in their heart and they start understanding, oh, you know, these romantic inclinations, and then the guy or the girl that was talking to him making all sweet eyes and all that stuff. You know, haven't many of y'all been the victim of puppy dog eyes? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? But you find out they were lying to you. Folks, there's pain in this world. And not just something silly like puppy love. But in real relationships, marriages and jobs and schools and all these kind of things. And Even in that, we can give thanks because God is with us to tell us the truth on how these things operate within our lives. Yes, of course there's times we become angry. But do we condemn the person causing the pain? Unfortunately, we do many times. However, we must realize that we ourselves often hurt others. Do we want those folks to condemn us? Do we want to have anger and bitterness thrown at us when we sin? Of course not. We want to be treated well. We want to have the mercy and the forgiveness and the understanding. Therefore, we must give it as much as we want to receive it. Galatians tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow kindness and mercy, all the while standing in the truth, then you will receive it at some point in your life, especially when the time is the most important. But you see, we want all the good things. But what I'm trying to tell us is that in order to receive those good things, we want to treat others the way we want to be treated. Golden rule. They used to teach that in school. I don't know if they do or not anymore. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You want people to love you, to give thanks for you, then you give thanks and love them. Some folks are prickly like cactuses, folks. I'm telling you, y'all know this. Y'all have been around. You understand this. But it does not negate the order that God gives us that it has anything to do with us to live peaceable with all men. How do we do that? Well, verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing means to show patience. Remember that art of patience we just talked about? We are commanded to do this. Jesus forgives us. We are to forgive others. Yes, it's difficult at times because there's people who don't want to be forgiven. Doesn't change God's order for us. We are to forgive others. We want to hold the other person accountable for hurting us. We want justice and revenge over the person who wronged us. And that's human. And it's understandable. But thank God He does not desire the same for those who put their faith in Him. You know, we are all sinners. But we are sinners saved by grace through faith. And this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, a gift that we can be thankful for, because you see, once we take that gift, we can give it to others. And when we give it to others, we are doing as Christ has done to us. In His mercy, He forgives us in Jesus and does not hold our sin over us. And if this is true, then why do we hold sin over others? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Like I said, sometimes people need to hear the Word of God and be rebuked because you love them. Not because you're trying to run their life or anything like it, because you want them to know the truth. Folks, we need to be that in our whole life. Here's something that we need to understand. With the exception of faith, God will not consider our personal feelings in the judgment. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying that God has His standard given to us in the Word through Christ Jesus, and we're able to accomplish it through the power of the Holy Spirit, which again is given to us when we have faith. Just because we feel a certain way about something doesn't mean it's biblical. Just because we hear all kind of voices and society and laws and all this stuff doesn't make it right. That's why it breaks my heart that in the recent election, the abortion amendment, I believe it was number 3, passed. And the way they did it is they came on and talked about rights and taking away rights from future generations and all that. Folks, they're taking away life from a future generation. Rights ain't got squat to do with it. And when society does evil, society will be judged. But even in that, believe it or not, we can be thankful because we know that the Lord God Almighty does not put up with evil. Folks, I know I've bounced all over the place this morning, but these are things that need to be said. If we harbor bitterness and anger, and then we try to come together to eat a meal, how is that going to turn out? But I'm going to tell you what, it's better to eat a meal knowing where you stand in the truth, in the Word of God, than to have a false peace that doesn't last. And then we're going to move on to verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now we know that the word charity in the King James comes from the Greek word agapein, agape, sacrificial love. That is what you are to put on. That is what I am to put on. Why? Because that is the bond of unity. You see that word, bond of perfectness. Let me try this Greek on you. Teleotitos. We've all heard that Jesus said the last word on the cross was tetelestai, which means it is finished. You see, this word, bond of unity, means it is finished. It is whole. It is complete before God. And what gives that bond? The love. When you love one another, there is a bond of unity, a bond that is not easily broken. However, human sinfulness will cause cracks, but the love of God fills those cracks. It's better than any can of Bondo you ever bought at Home Depot, okay? It will keep things together. Now, it may not for a while. Anybody that's ever worked on a car or anything know that? You can put Bondo all over it and it'll still, the fender will still fall off at some point. But when everything is made complete in Christ, it never again will fall off. It is a perfect bond, a perfect synthesis. And what is it? It is love. Now, yes, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but you know, I've got so-and-so that I've tried everything in the world to show them love. And guys, I get it. I never said this was going to be easy, but it's necessary. It's necessary to love people as Christians, even when they're not lovable. But it also doesn't mean you give approval and, what's the word I'm looking for? Give approval and give rightness to a situation that you know is against the Word of God. But you do it in a way that brings glory to God and peace as much as possible with you. Again, I say, there are people who don't like peace. There are people that like to stir the pot. There are people that cause trouble just to cause trouble. But you don't have to be that way. You can love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and do like unto it to love your neighbor as yourself, but your neighbor includes your family, includes everybody. When you come together to give thanks unto God, do just that. Give thanks unto God for all that He has done. You see, when this happens, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. When peace comes together, we are all in the body of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we can be thankful. And that is the essence of thanksgiving. Yes, we give thanks for the bounty. We give thanks for the, you know, being able to pay our bills. We give thanks for being able to have good food. Folks, many of us know, and Miss Lisa can tell you this, there's places in this earth where they're literally eating dirt because they have nothing else. And God has blessed us so much. which is why I can't understand many people want to throw it away. But not all. Because we are thankful. Inside this peace of God that rules in our hearts, we are called into the body of Christ. And in this state, we can truly worship and praise the one who loved us first. The last verse, verse 16. Well, let me make sure it's the last verse. I think I said 17. Yep, 17. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This verse needs no further explaining. It says what it plainly says. Jesus' words need to dwell in us. Many of us guys, you know, we got a toolbox in the back of whatever vehicle we're driving. And if all of a sudden we need a tool, we can stop, get that tool out, and use it. God's word is the same thing. When we need it, we can reach there and get it and use it for God's purpose in our life. And while we're working on it, we're to teach and admonish one another. Folks, you teach me things all the time. You teach me about love. You teach me about prayer. You teach me about perseverance. You teach me about getting through difficult times. Folks, I hope that I've been able to teach you through the Word of God something that God will use in your life when you need it, when you can take that tool out and use it. So let me wrap this up, brothers and sisters. Talking about being with family during this Thanksgiving holiday. Instead of being in a situation that causes division and pain, let us indeed love one another as Christ has loved us. If we do not, let's face it, folks, if we don't, then we're just being hypocrites and we're going to reap what we sow, as we said earlier. All of our lives must be given to Him, including our pride and our prejudices and our desires. But we understand this is difficult, but it's necessary. And then we can do the following in spirit and truth. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We can fully function in the will and grace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. And as we give thanks to God the Father through the Son and by the power of the Spirit, we will do so in spirit and truth. So brothers and sisters, have a wonderful holiday with your family and friends, and give thanks to the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Praise team. Folks, you know, this is the time of invitation, and I do extend the invitation if anyone wants to join our congregation or if anyone wants to profess faith in Christ, but we've got families going through things right now that some of you have faced, some of you have not. But we need to be thankful unto God that He is with them and us during these times. Hard decisions have to be made. For lack of a better term, plans need to be set in motion. But we need to stand by our brothers and sisters. We need to love on them. We need to pray for them. We need to lift them up at every opportunity. So please, when you're giving thanks for what God has done for you this year, and you should, do not forget those that are struggling with health and other problems that really kind of brings a downer on holidays. You don't want holidays to be remembered in a negative light. I remember watching a show one time where this doctor was trying to keep this patient alive simply because it was Christmas Day. And he wanted to keep them alive until after midnight so his family would never think of Christmas as the day that their dad died. Well, the time we go is up to the Lord. But we can pray and we can strengthen and we can lift up those who need it. And that's what we're going to do this morning. But let us stand, please.